This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Use code GRACE to receive $10 off plus free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com to order today. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Hey, it's not the Howie Carr Show. It's my show. And I brought my own music.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest, the Archduchess of the AM airwaves. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Get ready, Boston. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Grace Curley Show. If this is your first hour, we are going to bring you all the news that you need to know, including some local news. Bill Belichick will not be going to get the Medal of Freedom from the president. I'm not surprised, Jared. We had this as our poll question yesterday, and my answer was correct. I did not think he would do it. I don't even blame him. I wish he would. I wish there was more people who would, you know, not be so afraid of the mob, but can I blame him right now with how deranged half the country is? No. And I'm not surprised. And there's other news. Mike Pence and Donald Trump patch up relationship in White House meeting. That's some good news that made me feel good. They had a meeting at the, I believe in the Oval Office. And I guess when they left the Oval Office, they were laughing. And Pence told the president he never once considered using the 25th Amendment to depose Trump. And the reporter says that Trump even suggested that he would back Pence for a 2024 election bid unless he decided to run himself. No promises, though, Trump added. So it seems like they're back to being friends. And that is part of Donald Trump's personality, is that he's got a short fuse. I'm trying to think if I'm going to get this expression right. A short fuse, but a long rope. Like, you can get him angry and vice versa. And then if it changes, he can change very quickly and he can decide, oh, no, that's okay. You're fine. I mean, think of all the people that worked for him in his administration. They were people who he insulted their wives. He insulted their, you know, their jobs, their ability. And as soon as they, you know, say, hey, Trump, I'm on your side, he takes them right back. So I'm not surprised that Pence and Trump are friends again. It makes me very happy. I've always liked Vice President Pence. And I think he was in a terrible position. He constitutionally couldn't really do anything. And I think that Trump probably now realizes that. But what I want to get to now in this segment is a great piece that I read today. It's by Dennis Prager, and it's called The Good American. It's from Town Hall. And I will post this on my Twitter after the show. So Dennis Prager wrote a piece last week that caught my eye, and it was called The Good German. And he basically described how he understood now how Germans who were not complicit in what the Nazis were doing but didn't speak up against it, he always thought, you know, it was so appalling and he never would be able to do that. And then he said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said that now that he's, you know, living in a country where there's a lot of pressure from outside forces and people feel very bullied to whether it is go along with the lockdowns or whatever it is, he understands more. And he followed it up today with a piece, and it's called The Good American. And it's really interesting because normally I do not like comparisons with anything to do with Nazis or Hitler. In the words of Dwight Schrute, comparisons are hard. And a lot of times when you bring Hitler into the mix, it does not go the way you're planning. But this was a very smart and well thought out comparison. So I'm going to read a little bit from this and we'll break in here and there. On February 27, 1933, exactly 1 month after the Nazis came to power, the German parliament building, the Reichstag, was set ablaze. The Nazis blamed the fire on their arch enemy, the communists, and used the fire to essentially extinguish the Communist Party and its ability to publish, speak, or otherwise spread its message. Using the fire as an excuse, the Nazis passed the Enabling Act, a law that gave the Nazi chancellor, Adolf Hitler, the power to pass laws by decree without the Reichstag. So he goes on to say, this author, that what happened at the Capitol, he condemns it. He says it was bad. But then he says, beginning the next day, the American left used the Capitol mob just as the Nazis used the Reichstag, as an excuse to subjugate its conservative enemies and further squelch civil liberties in America, specifically freedom of speech. Twitter not only permanently banned the account of the President of the United States, but permanently banned him from Twitter. The left was able to do all of this not by using the Capitol mob incident, but also by engaging in a series of lies. So now he goes on to explain this word we keep hearing over and over again, the insurrection. And he explains that all left-wing media and Democrats now refer to the event as an insurrection, a term defined by almost every dictionary as an act or instance of revolting against civil authority or an established government. As morally repulsive as the actions of the mob were, they did not constitute a revolt against civil authority or an established government. So then he goes down, he explains the double standard with the Black Lives Matter protests. And then he says, and this is the part that I think is really important. Then, like the Nazi regime after the fire, the left immediately moved to further curtail civil liberties, specifically conservatives' ability to promote their ideas. Twitter and Amazon made it impossible for the alternative to Twitter, Parler, to exist, all in the name of preventing another right-wing insurrection. In the name of the Capitol insurrection, the Democrats announced they would impeach the President of the United States, though he only had 14 days left in office. Now I think he has 8. In the name of the Capitol insurrection, the editor of Forbes, Randall Lane, announced that Forbes Media was holding those who lied for Trump accountable in what he called a truth reckoning. I don't know. Now, this is me talking. I don't know if that's worse or better than Rick Klein's cleansing or the guy from Eugene Robinson's deprogramming, but a truth reckoning, it doesn't sound like something I'd want to be part of. It doesn't sound great. Okay, so back to this article. Hire any of Trump's press secretaries, Lane warned, and Forbes will assume that everything your company or firm talks about is a lie. In the name of the Capitol mob attack, 159 law professors at Chapman University have called for the firing of John Eastman, a tenured fellow lawyer, law professor, and holder of an endowed chair at Chapman, because his actions Wednesday helped incite a riot. He spoke at the Trump rally. The professors ended their Los Angeles Times letter with this sentence: "He does not belong on our campus." Words well chosen. What the left is doing is announcing and enforcing that conservatives do not belong in our society. The parallels to 1933 are precise. And most good Americans are keeping silent, just as did most Germans. Though they do not risk being beaten up, are Americans in 2021 as afraid of the American left as Germans in 1933 were of the German fascists? We're about to find out. And I don't know why the Bill Belichick thing made me think of that. I think it's because it's so easy for people. And I've been thinking about this a lot. It's really easy for me. People say to me, oh, you're so great. Like, congrats. I love that you speak your mind. You're a young conservative female. You know, oh, that's so brave. It's thank you to those people, but it's my job. It's my job. And I'm supported by the place I work. Howie Carr fully, you know, believes in me. And I don't get in trouble for saying how I feel. There are other people out there who I don't blame at all for being scared, for not wanting to put a Trump sticker on their car, or, you know, for wanting to be a good American and just stay out of it and, like, you know, take the money they have and just stay out of the political sphere, because the cost is so high. If I had a kid right now who was in their 20s working in marketing, I would probably tell them, you know, I don't know if I'd post that if it was some, you know, political whatever. And that's cowardly of me to say, but I think that's how a lot of Americans feel, because it's easy to say, oh, you know, do it, accept the Medal of Freedom. I would have loved to see him do that. But do I understand people who are in such a tough position? Because it went from angering people, which is, you know, you tick off people. That's the expression. And I get that. And there's a lot of people who don't care about that. Tiger Woods golfed with Donald Trump all the time. He's been hated before. He doesn't really care if you hate him at this point. But it's getting beyond just people not liking you. Now it's if you anger this group of people, this mob, these trolls, you could lose your job. You could be banned from your college, or you could be, you know, the list goes on and on. It's getting very scary. We are canceled. And I don't know what the answers are. I think part of the answer is just people having to create their own platforms. And we'll talk about that a little bit later with Tucker Carlson. He interviewed the CEO of Parler, and it seems like there's going to be a solution, hopefully, but I'm not going to lie to you. The guy didn't sound exceptionally confident that anything was going to come out too soon. But I think that's where we have to go. I think that if we really don't want to be dependent on the Jack Dorseys of the world, it's time that Republicans start creating their own platforms and their own servers. And I'm not saying it's easy. It's going to take some time, but I think that's what has to happen. It's true what they say at Perfect Smiles. A smile can change your life. I saw the change with Howie. I really did. The mailroom manager also got a procedure done with her teeth. And that was very, very noticeable because everyone just kept complimenting her. Everywhere we'd go, we'd go out to lunch and everyone said, oh my God, you have the most beautiful teeth I've ever seen. And she really, really does. Many people walk around not smiling because they aren't happy with their teeth. This is the saddest thing. You should not be insecure about your smile. It's with you your whole life. It's worth the investment. And it really is amazing to watch the testimonials at perfectsmiles.com. Talk about incredible transformations. You don't have to take my word for it. Go on their site, perfectsmiles.com, and you can check out the testimonials. Dr. Houghton really is an artist. My mom went to Dr. Houghton to find out about the procedures, and he's so nice. He makes everyone feel like they're a VIP. It's truly worth the trip, even if you just want a consultation. Parking is free and the staff is warm and welcoming. That is absolutely true. Have you been wanting to upgrade your look for years? Contact them today and look at their video testimonials. Go to perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. I think that if you feel good about your smile, the level of confidence you will get in your day-to-day life is worth it. If you've been thinking about this for years and this is what you have to hear, I'm telling you, invest in it. Do it. You will not regret it. You will be walking around like a ray of sunshine. That's how Howie smiles all the time. And I know it's because he's showing off his gorgeous teeth. Change your smile, change your life. That's perfectsmiles.com, perfectsmiles.com. We will be back with the poll question and more news. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We have a lot to get to today, and there's some news stories I want to hit. First of all, in sad news, Sheldon Adelson, billionaire Las Vegas casino, is the owner, I believe. I mean, I think he built a lot of this.
He's a former CEO of the Sands as well.
He has died at age 87. He was a huge political donor for Republicans. And so our sympathies with his family. And we have more news, but first we have our poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Genesis 950. Use Genesis 950 for all your cleaning needs. Use code word GRACE to save $10 and get free shipping. Go to Genesis950.com. Genesis 950, a lot cheaper than replacing your carpets. Jared Diglio is on the board. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Going forward, will you still use Amazon?
I'm going to say, oh, it's so hard for me because I just started getting into Amazon. I was late to the trend, and I'm not gonna say how easy it is and how much I like it because that's a plug for them. I am going to try not to use it anymore.
57% of the audience says no, they will not use Amazon going forward.
And I think the only way, if you really support small businesses, is to make that extra effort. Because I was talking to someone and they explained to me, they said, the problem is people still go to small shops. Like, let's say you go to a guitar center or something and you talk to the person there and they give you advice, and then you get, you know, you figure out what kind of guitar you want to buy, and then you go home and you order it on Amazon because it's $5 cheaper. When really what you would be doing is you're not just supporting, you know, the business, but you're supporting the employees and people who work there and people who give you their time. And I just think that if it's something we really want to change and we really want to make better, we all need to try. But it's hard. I'm not going to lie. It's definitely hard. I use Amazon for plenty of things. I know Howie does too. But I really, that's why I love this deal Howie's running. Go to HowieKarsha.com and click on the store for this deal. You can get 2 Kennedy Babylons for $20. That's half off. And he's going to give free shipping. It's Howie Car Prime. So make sure you check that out. In other news, Jared, Dr. Fauci says, this is like becoming a Dr. Seuss story. Dr. Fauci says, when live shows will be back, depending on vaccine rollout. Dr. Anthony S. Fauci says the reopening of live theater and music venues will occur sometime in the late fall of 2021.
You will not watch them till the fall. You will not watch them. Wear a mask!
He said early to mid-fall, you can have people feeling safe performing on stage as well as people in the audience. Oh, gosh. And really, theater, I mean, that's where my heart breaks. Everybody, if you're new to the show, The Grace Curley Show, I'm a thespian. And while I never really fully tried my hand at theater beyond school, I know the level you have, the level of seriousness you have to be at to move to New York City or, you know, to really try Broadway. And for a lot of people, it's a short window where you're the new kid on the block and you're going to star in a show. And those people, it's just been squashed. Their dreams have been squashed. And I just don't know if New York will ever come back. And I don't know if theater will ever come back. But I don't want to sound like a sad sack, so I'm going to say it will. But it doesn't help when people like Dr. Fauci are saying, late 2021 in the fall. Lord help us. In other news, Fox News is beaten in the ratings by both CNN and MSNBC for the first time in 20 years. Both CNN and MSNBC scored a ratings win over Fox News for the first time in 20 years on Friday, January 8th, according to Nielsen. The conservative network is facing competition from its liberal competitors, and it seems the attack at Capitol Hill has contributed to the ratings win. So I think a lot of people have been jumping ship from Fox News, and that doesn't surprise me. But in other programming news, if we're on this topic, did you hear about Jim Acosta?
I did not.
He's got a new gig. The man who became famous for being a hero in the press, like he would fight Trump and he would scream questions at Trump. A lot of people I saw thought that he was just going to, you know, spend the next 4 years positioned outside Mar-a-Lago, just screaming kind of over the fence. But instead, they have really had a change up in the lineup at CNN. He will be hosting a weekend show. White House correspondent Jim Acosta will leave that beat and become anchor and chief domestic correspondent. He will primarily anchor on the weekends. In other words, after 4 years of hounding Donald Trump and being Trump deranged and, you know, asking him ridiculous questions, he doesn't need to do that for Joe Biden. He's off that beat. There's no place for him anymore, because if he can't scream questions at Donald Trump, then what's the point? So I don't know. He's saying, this was his tweet. On to the next adventure. After 8 years at White House, I'm moving into a new role as anchor on weekends and chief domestic correspondent for CNN. A new challenge I'm very excited about. We'll miss my White House colleagues, but I know they'll be great covering the Biden administration. See you soon. So how a lot of people felt was, oh, they knew it was going to seem so obvious if they had Jim Acosta cover Biden. Because we literally have tons and tons of cuts of Jim Acosta screaming at Trump. And, you know, calling him names and asking him ridiculous questions. So if he were to jump right into the Joe Biden administration and say, sir, can you answer how you feel about what some people are calling your best week ever? I think it would be a little, they need it to be a little bit more subtle than that. Guys, when we get back, we have Jeff Charles from Red State. We're going to be talking impeachment and the Lincoln Project. Do not go anywhere. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm your host, Grace Curley, and I'm so excited about my next guest. We've had him on Howie's show before. This is his first time on the Grace Curley Show. Jeff Charles is a contributor for RedState.com, for LibertyNation.com, and he co-hosts the Red and Black Show. I read all of his pieces. You can follow him on Twitter at JeffOnTheRight. Thank you so much for being with us, Jeff.
Hey, Grace. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So, Jeff, you wrote a piece I really loved. I read it on the show yesterday, and you explained why you support impeachment and why you think it's actually going to work out well for conservatives. Can you just give us a brief idea of why we shouldn't be so depressed about this second try on impeachment?
Yeah, so I wrote that article because I think I was, you know, everybody was up in a furor about Trump being impeached, and I was, you know, looking at the long game here. Now, I don't support the Democrats' efforts because, you know, I'm a Mitt Romney type. I support it for the opposite reason. Like I said in the article, Napoleon Bonaparte said, never interfere with your enemy when he is making a mistake. So we have to really think about what's going on here. They just filed articles of impeachment yesterday. They're probably not going to be able to even look at it until 100 days into Biden's presidency, which means that they're going to try to impeach President Trump when he's already out of office. So think about this. They're going to spend taxpayer money. They're going to take up the time of lawmakers to drag the nation through another impeachment fiasco, blaming the U.S. Capitol riots wholly on him. And the nation's going to be watching this. So this is one of those things that's going to backfire. I will say that the riots that happened at the Capitol, that did benefit the Democrats at that moment. But now their overstep is going to be so ridiculous that they're going to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory here. So I this is going to hurt them a lot more than it hurts us. So why stop them?
And you also wrote, Jeff, about how their impeachment debacle part two has just begun. But I guess my question for you would be, I know there's very little here in their article that they filed. They're claiming that Trump incited the riot when, as you said in your column, he actually calls for them to be peaceful. So just right there, it doesn't really hold up. But if you had to look at both impeachments, which one do you think was weaker? I know it's tough, but which one would you choose? Impeachment one or impeachment two?
You know, I would say this one is weaker because at least with the first one, you did have a phone call where it's like, not really, but I mean, yeah, whatever. But in this one, there's absolutely no evidence that he incited that violence. Now, I think with a lot of things, I don't think he handled the whole situation perfectly, but he definitely did not incite violence. There was nothing that he said that would lead a reasonable person to think, oh, you know what? I just heard what Trump had to say. I'm going to go storm the Capitol now. No, this was planned, and they didn't care what Trump thought about it. And really, they're not going to be able to make this stick. I don't think that anybody in the Senate is really going to vote for it. I think Democrats will even vote against it. You might have some who are going to support it, but it's not even going to pass. And even if it did, it doesn't matter because he's already out of office. So this is their part of their strategy where they just throw whatever against the wall and hope that something sticks.
Now, Jeff, the great thing about you, and I'm talking to Jeff Charles from Red State. You guys can find him on Red State, and you can also follow him at Jeff on the Right. The great thing about you is that you really cover a variety of news topics. So I go in the morning and I click on all your articles, and they can range from the Lincoln Project, which we will get to also Twitter. And I remember when we had you on Howie's show, you had been having a little bit of an issue with Twitter and censoring. So when you look at, first of all, can you tell people about that situation? Because that was kind of one of the first times I heard about Twitter really banning people. And then secondly, do you think that this is going to affect Twitter financially?
Yeah, so first off, I mean, my issue with Twitter is that they had suspended me a few months ago because I'm a black conservative. So, you know, you always see the left call black conservatives Uncle Toms, all that good stuff. So I posted a tweet making fun of them for doing that. Then Twitter suspended me because I used the word that they use. Now, mind you, I can go look up that word right now on Twitter and see tons of people using it as a pejorative against black conservatives or even against other black people, and they're not getting suspended. But I make fun of them, and I get suspended. And I even gave them the benefit of the doubt. I said, maybe this is just their algorithm. I sent them a message. I appealed the decision, explained what I was doing, and they upheld the ban. So that's just, to me, it's just a little microcosm of what they're doing now to companies like Parler, and then their great purge. I mean, I lost about over 2,000 followers because they purged a bunch of conservative accounts. So they don't really care about free speech. And as far as how it's going to affect Twitter, first off, banning President Trump was a huge mistake for them because he really made them relevant. I mean, the service was popular before him, but it skyrocketed in popularity when he came on the scene.
Right,
so
because
rid of him wasn't
because
a great
Jeff,
idea.
Jeff, yeah. Not to interrupt you, but he changed the landscape of how people listen to politics. It was like, why wait 4 hours to see what the news has to say when you can turn on Twitter and read a feed in 5 minutes and go eat your dinner? I mean, it just was never the same once he got on Twitter.
Yeah, and the activist media hated it because he can just bypass them and tell the American people what was on their mind, and if they like it, great. If not, then they don't like it. But that they weren't able to filter it. So, yeah, I mean, it does take it away, but, I mean, Biden's going to have access to Twitter, but nobody really – Biden doesn't excite people the way Trump did, so it's not going to do anything for them. So I do expect them to lose some more money. I mean, their stock prices are already down as of yesterday, so we'll see how that works out.
And then quickly, Jeff, before I move on to the Lincoln Project, because that story just has to be talked about. It hasn't gotten a lot of play from the mainstream media, which I'm sure you can't believe. But I wanted to ask you, could you explain to people a little bit about this this EPIC, E-P-I-K? I know you wrote about it in your column, but explain to people what it is and whether or not you think it's going to work.
Yeah, so I don't have an in-depth knowledge of them, but I do know that they're based in Seattle, and the owners will host pretty much anybody because they believe in free speech. Now, they did get rid of 8chan a while back for various reasons because, I mean, there's a lot of issues with them. But they do allow some sites on there that I don't approve of, but they believe in free speech. So when the left came after Gab, like they are with Parler right now, Gab had to find another hosting network. Because the thing is, if you have an online a social media platform, and let's say they don't want to carry in the Google Store or the Apple Store, you can still have your website. You can still function. But if they go after your hosting, now you're shut down, and that's what's happening to Parler right now. So they're going to be working with Epic that will host sites like Gab and sites like Parler. Again, even with Gab, I mean, there's a lot of stuff on there that I wasn't really into. But the thing is, they start out with the more fringe aspects, and then they want to move it in towards they're banning more mainstream outlets. Parler was not very rife with white nationalists or anything like that at all. I'm on Parler. So that's basically what's happening. So I think we're going to see more of that going forward. I think if conservatives are wise, they're going to build more hosting platforms like Epic to make sure that when the left comes after them, they're not able to destroy other platforms.
Now, Jeff, just to move on really quickly here, you talk about the Lincoln Project and how they're out for praise from liberals when they're never really going to be accepted. Like a Steve Schmidt is never going to be, you know, the toast of the town in the liberal media. Can you explain a little bit about the database that they're trying to compile at the Lincoln Project?
Yeah, it's like, you know, I almost feel sorry for them because they're like that, the simp that keeps going after the girl that will never give them the time of day.
Yeah.
Like they're so out of it that they don't even get friend zone. Like they don't even get up to the friend zone level with the left. But yeah, they're trying to compile a database, and they made it clear that it's not going to give out personal information. But what they're doing is they're targeting people who work in the White House under Trump that helped them with his agenda. And their goal is to ruin their careers so that they're not able to further themselves in their careers or get other jobs. They're probably going to harass them like they did with the law firm that was representing the Trump team that was challenging some of the election results, got him to step down. So that's really their strategy right now. So basically, they claim to be conservatives, but in order to get favor from the left, they're adopting some of the left's tactics.
Right. And it really did backfire in a big way. And this is a story that I don't think is getting enough press. Ryan Gerdusky was on Twitter, and
yeah,
he started, you know, calling out some Lincoln Project people. Can you explain that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of my colleagues wrote about that, actually, as Sister told you, I believe. And he basically, people obviously just sent him this stuff, but one of the guys, I think his last name was Weaver, he was grooming young men and using sex as a way to basically offering things in exchange for sex to get them into key positions in the Lincoln Project.
Yeah, so the name is
not going to report on that.
The name is John Weaver, and Ryan Gerdusky publicly alleged that John Weaver another prominent member of the Lincoln Project was grooming young men for sex. And then a lot of people started DMing him. Again, we don't know the validity of these charges, but there was a level of irony, I thought, that while they're trying to compile this database of people for their political opinions, they're not exactly upstanding citizens, it would seem.
Yeah, they might want to look more in their own ranks for wrongdoing instead of just focusing on, you know, these baseless claims against White House officials.
Right, exactly. Well, Jeff Charles, thank you so much. And do you have anything you want to promote? I know you have the Red and Black Show podcast, which is awesome, and you're on redstate.com and you're on libertynation.com. Is there anything else people should be keeping their eyes out for?
Yeah. Check out my YouTube channel, Breaking Conservatarian on YouTube.
YouTube is still allowing that up with that title? That's surprising to me.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, maybe because they don't know what conservatarian means.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Thank you, Jeff Charles. I really appreciate it. Jeff covers so many things, and there's no lack of content out there for people at Red State to cover. But I like getting his take on the impeachment because I am curious what people think about this. I mean, I felt the same way, overplaying their hand, overstepping. It's not going to end well. They can't just accept the fact that they won. They have to take it to the next level. Guys, we have so much more to get to, and when we get back, we will be doing the poll question and some other things, so don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner, just don't call her Gracie. It's The Grace Curley Show.
A tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
I have more people supporting me in the black community that have announced for me because they know me. They know who I am. Three former chairs of the Black Caucus. The only African-American woman that ever been elected to the United States Senate.
I remember that. That's a throwback, Jared. Was that from the debates?
That was indeed from the debates.
That was when he said the only black woman who's ever been in the Senate, and Kamala Harris, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, had to correct him and say, Joe, I'm right here.
Yeah. And then she looked up and said, freedom! So I played that because there's actually, on Twitter right now, there are two Kamala breaking stories. One is a rabid controversy. The other one is interesting, and NECN tweeted this out, and it's kind of funny why I played that cut, that once Kamala leaves the Senate, there will actually be no black women in the Senate chambers.
Has she given up her Senate seat yet?
I have not. I don't think she has. I haven't seen anywhere that she's given it up.
I mean, part of me understands that. You don't want to give something up until it's a sure thing, but
it's been certified. I have to get over it. It's been certified.
So doesn't she have
a damn seat?
Yeah, it seems like it's time. What's the other story?
The other story is the controversy, and this really foreshadows how the next 4 years are going to go.
Right.
Kamala Harris did not approve the photo that Vogue used.
So I did see this story over the weekend. There was a lot of controversy. A lot of people were mad on Twitter. Anna Wintour, or as some people know her, Meryl Streep, that Meryl Streep portrayed her in The Devil Wears Prada. But she's the head of Vogue. She has the short little bob haircut and the big sunglasses. And I guess she picks covers or she approves them or whatever. And she chose this cover of Kamala Harris where she's standing in front of a pink curtain and she's wearing kind of a brownish suit jacket and pants and then Converse sneakers. It's not a terrible photo. And honestly, I saw it, didn't really think much of it. But people on Twitter were very upset. They did not think this photo did Kamala Harris justice. And then it came out later from a guy on Twitter. I'm blanking on his name. But he said that he got word from someone at Vogue that they changed it up at the last minute and did not get, you know, her approval for the photo. There's conflicting reports because some people say that they never asked for approval. And then some people say that it's very customary for them to ask you, are you cool with us running this picture? Now, the reason I think this story is relatable is because when I was younger, my mom would take Christmas card photos. And a lot of times with four kids, there were photos where one person would look good and one person would look really bad and two people would look whatever. And then as the photos went on, it always switched up. But there was a few years where my mom would grab a photo of us somewhere and she would not tell us that it was a Christmas card. And then she would not tell us when she was making the Christmas card. And then I would come home to see a photo of myself and I'd be like, oh, what is that? And she would say, oh, it's a Christmas card. I sent it out today to everybody, to all your friends and all their families. And I would be like, Mom, why would you do that? That's horrible. Well, you know, as I got older, it's whatever, but an unflattering shot. So if I were on the cover of Vogue and I thought it was going to be one photo and I saw the photo that she originally thought it was going to be and it was a much better picture, it was cooler, she was in a power suit, she had heels on. Nobody wants to be photographed in sneakers. Like, let's all be honest with ourselves. And I understand. I'm actually Team Kamala on this. I would be really annoyed. Vogue is a huge magazine cover. They have massive budgets. They put on covers for Vogue that are gorgeous. And they kind of just kind of gave her a meh cover when it could have been really cool. Now, again, do I understand that, listen, they never put conservative women on the covers of those magazines? Yes, I do. So my sympathy only goes so far. But I'm just saying, as someone who's had a photo picked out for them, and had to grin and bear it, I understand why her team's a little bit miffed. And that's just how I feel. In other news, Trump approves emergency declaration of for D.C. ahead of Biden inauguration. So I think this was a really smart move by President Trump. He decided Monday that he would issue an emergency declaration for Washington, D.C. to boost security ahead of President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration on January 20th. The order, which is in effect from Monday to January 24th, allows the Department of Homeland Security and Federal Emergency Management Agency to work with local authorities as needed. It comes 5 days after a mob of the president's supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol as Congress began formally counting the Electoral College votes to certify Biden's win. This is from the New York Post. I think this is a smart idea. I think it never hurts to have more security and more people ready to go. That was a big problem at the Capitol. The main problem being that people stormed it to begin with. But a lot of people did immediately start saying, wow, the security there was not ready. They weren't ready for, I mean, a lot of those people who got in there, there were some crazy people for sure, but there was also some people just wandering in, like just looking around. There was no real system in place for any sort of chaos. So I think that's a very smart move. Like I said earlier, Mike Pence and Donald Trump patch up relationship and White House meeting. I know this will make a lot of MAGA people happy because we've all enjoyed watching the relationship between Trump and Pence. I mean, they're just so opposite. But Pence has been pretty loyal to Donald Trump, and he's been pretty good. So I like the fact that they have, you know, put it behind them. There's only so many days left, and let's hope they make it count. I'm sure Donald Trump has plenty left to do in his final 8 days. 844-500-4242. Carol Markowitz is in our last hour, and the one and only Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.